Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
And in the chaos of the tribulation period, a world confused, a world lost, will look to someone to bring order and calm and peace to the world. And they will look not to Christ, but to the Antichrist. And in today's study, we're going to learn of an individual who will rule the world.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. In Revelation chapter 13, we're introduced to a truly terrible figure known as the Antichrist. He is pure evil, the devil's counterfeit to the Son of God, ruthless and described as the man of lawlessness. Well, today on The Verdict, Pastor John Monroe helps us to understand more about the rise and role of the Antichrist. So let's listen.
In the future, there will be a world government headed by an individual that we refer to as the Antichrist. He will be seen as a brilliant statesman, a charismatic diplomat, an economic mastermind, an amazing religious uniter. But he is Antichrist, the epitome of evil, of deception, of violence. The Antichrist has not yet surfaced. Conceivably, he may be alive today, but if so, he's not known. In the Bible, he's described as a beast, a monster, who will arise from the nations, and he's given a ferocious description. But today we're going to learn about the mark of the beast. Yes, there is a specific number, and only those who have received the mark of the Antichrist will be able to buy or sell. Let's learn more about this future person, the Antichrist.
I want you to open your Bible to the last book in the Bible, and we're going to look at Revelation 13. If you're visiting, let me say to you that we're going consecutively through this book. So let's read. And for the sake of connection, let me read the last sentence of Revelation 12. And he, that is the great dragon, the serpent, devil, given different descriptions and names in the scriptures, he stood on the sand of the sea. Now, Revelation 13, verse 1. John says, I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its head. Here is a description of the Antichrist, the beast rising out of the sea. And he's described here as a beast, as a monster. Very attractive to men and women. But God sees him as a monster, as a violent, evil, ferocious, destructive beast, a hideous monster. Verse 3, Revelation 13, verse 3, one of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole world marveled as they followed the beast. You get this? He's a world ruler. Now, verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? And who can fight against it? I mean, he's so strong. He's just this amazing military leader. He's insuperable. No one can fight against him. Verse 5, and the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words. And it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. Verse 6, it opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling. That is, those who dwell in heaven. He's against God. He's anti-Christ. He's against the people of God. And he demands worship of everyone. And in spite of his pride, in spite of his blasphemy against God, everyone in the world, with the exception of the true believer, is going to worship the Antichrist. Verse 7, also it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. Notice how John is emphasizing that he is a global ruler. And this is incredible, isn't it? That every single person in the world will worship the Antichrist other than, verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it. everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Who are the only people in the world who are not going to worship the Antichrist? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Verse 10, if anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is slain with the sword must be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Verse 11, I saw another beast rising out of the earth. First beast rising out of the sea, verse 1. Second beast, verse 11, another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. How wonderful it seems. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. This is a different beast. Here is another monster. He's got two horns like a lamb. He's a nice guy. He's not like that one with the 10 horns and the 7 heads. But he's a spokesman for the devil. He's destructive, he's evil, and he's malicious. And what do we have during the tribulation? We have an unholy trinity. What is the Holy Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What's the unholy Trinity? Satan, the devil. We have the Antichrist, the first beast coming out of the sea. And then we have the second beast coming out of the earth that we're just reading about here in Revelation 13, verse 11 and following. And he's also called the false prophet. Look over to chapter 19. Verse 20. You have the devil, substitute for God the Father. You've got the Antichrist, a substitute for God the Son. You've got the false prophet, a substitute for God the Holy Spirit. Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was captured. This is the future. This is when Christ returns. In the chronology of Revelation 19, Jesus Christ comes back as King of Kings in Revelation 19. Notice what happens. The beast, that's the Antichrist, is captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. And so here is a description which matches the description in Revelation 13, verses 11 through 15, that the second beast coming out of the earth is also the false prophet. He's a false prophet. He may well be the head under Satan of this global religion, this world religion. Can you see the idea of a world religion beginning to unfold even now? We're told, why do we debate the differences between Judaism and Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and Christianity? After all, we basically all believe the same thing. I mean, we've got to be nice to people, kind to people, love our neighbor, do as you would be done to you. Keep away the doctrine and all that kind of stuff that divides people. Let's focus on the positives. And so during the tribulation, there is this great world religion, but it comes from the devil himself. And just as the Holy Spirit shines the spotlight on our Lord Jesus, so this false prophet shines the spotlight on the Antichrist and imposes global worship. Verse 12 makes it very clear that everyone is to worship the Antichrist. No wonder our Lord calls the Antichrist the abomination of God. of desolation. Now, this false prophet is quite impressive. He's able to perform signs, but they are counterfeit miracles similar to the magicians of Egypt at the time of Moses. The devil is powerful. He can do miracles. That's why we need to be discerning as the people of God. And during the tribulation period, this false prophet is able to do these miracles, have power, and so seduce people and deceive people and say, now you are to worship the beast. In verse 14, through his signs, this beast deceives people to make an image of the Antichrist. And in some ways, I don't understand this completely. In verse 15, he gives breath to the image of the beast, so that the image might even speak. Is this some form of magic, some form of ventriloquism, or is it a satanic miracle? What we do know is, verse 15, he commands worship of the Antichrist, and those who refuse to worship the Antichrist are killed. End of verse 15, he might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Now we have in verses 16 through 18, and I'm sorry to rush this, we have the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist. Verse 16. Also, it causes both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom, says John. Let the one who is understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is a number of man, and his number is 666. During this time, with the rise of the Antichrist, held by the false prophet who can do these miracles and commands people to worship the beast, there is imposed this system that every person has to have the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist. What is it, verse 17? The name of the beast or the number of its name. And during this time, we'll see this next week, it will be impossible to be neutral. No one will be able to buy or sell, verse 17, without the mark of the beast, either on the right hand or the forehead. Can you imagine that? You can't buy, you can't sell, unless you've got the mark of the beast. And what's going to happen if you don't take the mark of the beast? You are going to be killed. And you know how you're going to be killed? Listen to this. Revelation 20, verse 4 tells us. John says, I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. How would you fare like that? You're going to be decapitated if you don't have the mark of the beast. And the second beast, the false prophet, is going to enforce everyone to receive this mark on their right hand or their forehead. It'll be a kind of tattoo. And in this way, think of it, the Antichrist will have absolute economic control over the whole world. This number 666 is one of the best known numbers in the world. The number represents the personal name of the Antichrist. Each letter in his name has a numerical value, and it will total 666. Man's number is 6. God's number is 7, 7 days of creation. The number of man in Scripture is 6. And here is the epitome of man without God. Here is the very symbol of man in rebellion against God. Not just 6, but 666. And the mark of the beast is an outward demonstration of allegiance to the Antichrist. The mark isn't going to be hidden. It's going to be quite open. Don't you think with our technology it'd be quite easy to develop a system where people will be unable to do any transaction without this mark, without some kind of chip or some kind of barcode? Yesterday I went to the gas station. I just whip out my credit card and put it in. And as I was doing that, I thought, you know, during the tribulation, followers of Jesus will not be able to do that. They won't be able to get gas until they have the mark of the beast. And we're going more and more, aren't we, to a cashless society. Even a few years ago, in many stores, you couldn't use your credit card if it was under a certain amount of money, $10, $15. So if you went into McDonald's to get your Big Mac or whatever it was, and it was a couple of bucks, you had to pay cash. No longer now. You can use your credit card for the smallest amounts. And many people tell me that they don't carry cash. I always do. Not very much, but I always want to carry some cash. I'm from that generation. You cooler millennial people, you don't know about this. You just have credit cards. And in some ways, it's incredible. So I can travel halfway around the world and go to an ATM machine in any country in the world and take out my debit card and put it in, and the sign comes up and says, basically, "Good morning, John Monroe." I'm thinking, well, they know me here. And I can press a couple of buttons and put in my code, and out comes money. Isn't that incredible? And they know me. They've got a record of me. They know the transaction. Thousands and thousands of miles away from my bank in Blakeney in Charlotte, where my meager savings are. So this doesn't seem too far-fetched, does it? Governments like people dealing with credit cards. It keeps a note of the transactions. It's more difficult not to pay your taxes when you're using credit cards. Some of the countries which have had problems economically are because there's so much of a black market, people dealing in cash because they're trying to evade paying taxes. So this great Antichrist, this miracle worker, this economic guru, he's going to impose the system that you'll not be able to do any transaction. You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't get food, you can't get gas, you can't do a transaction, you can't buy a house, you can't sell a house unless you've got his mark. And with this, he is controlling the economy of the world, the Antichrist. The buzzword today is globalism, a one world view. And in some ways, globalism is good, but in another way, it's a bit scary, isn't it? We're told we have to have a global regime. An economic problem, a banking issue in a country far away from us has a ripple effect. What happens here in the banking system in the United States has that ripple effect very, very quickly throughout the world. What happens in one country impacts another in a matter of seconds. We're living in a global world, and the Antichrist will be the true global ruler. And the world out of control during the tribulation will turn to the Antichrist for answers. And he'll impose his totalitarian rule. Now, can I say to you, if you're following Jesus, there's no need to panic. First of all, we're not going to be here during the tribulation. We're going to be caught up. And we're going to be forever with the Lord. And secondly, this Antichrist, he will be destroyed when the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ comes. We saw that last week. We saw it the previous week. We're going to see it next week as well, that his kingdom will not end. And the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet are going to be thrown into the lake of fire, according to Revelation 20, verse 10. Now, although all of this is future, the lies and the deception of the Antichrist are all around us. It can seem today that evil is triumphing. Don't despair. Nothing can withstand the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. During the tribulation period, people will have to choose between the true Christ and the Antichrist, the mark of the beast or martyrdom of their faith. No sitting on the fence then. You like to sit on the fence, don't you? God doesn't want you to sit on the fence. God wants you to choose. At the crucifixion, the crowd had a choice. Barabbas or Jesus? Oh, give us Barabbas. We don't want Jesus. Your way or God's way? What is it? You want to pursue your own little kingdom or the kingdom of God? Let me tell you, there is only one kingdom which is going to survive. And in the grace of God, I'm part of that kingdom. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. That is, as followers of Jesus, our focus is on the kingdom of God, that great kingdom which will utterly demolish the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of the Antichrist as Christ institutes his rule, as we'll see in future weeks, forever and ever. Meantime, Jesus calls you voluntarily to bow to him. In the future, people are going to be forced to bow to Christ. When he returns to destroy the Antichrist and his enemies, he will come with a rod of iron. But now is the day of grace. And Jesus Christ calls on you voluntarily to submit to his rule. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Will you bow to Christ? Will you kneel before him and own him as Lord, as Savior? Not only is the one who forgives your sin, but the one that you're going to follow. A life of submission, a life of humility, a life of obedience, rather than listening to the lies and the deception of our enemy. Don't choose lies. Don't choose the dark. Choose Christ. Follow Christ. Live by faith. And even although life sometimes can be very difficult for followers of Jesus, and it certainly will be very difficult during the tribulation, God will triumph. So trust Christ. Turn from your selfishness. Stop living your own little kingdom and submit to this great everlasting kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, help us to do that. We confess that we get caught up in our own little world, our own little achievements. And so help us, strengthen us, we do pray. Help us to live by faith and glorify you, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a lesson about the Antichrist. Remember, you can revisit each of these daily messages in Revelation or share it with a friend by going online to theverdict.org. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our monthly email list to get the latest ministry updates from John. And before we get to John's closing remarks, we'd like to offer you a free copy of the brand new listening guide John created specifically for this series. It will help you dig deeper into each of these daily lessons by highlighting important details and offering questions for review, along with helpful prompts for daily application. So get your free copy of this interactive guide today by visiting us online at theverdict.org. There you can download and print this workbook right away. Or if needed, you're welcome to request the Revelation Listening Guide by mail. And if you'd like to help our radio ministry reach more listeners with the truth of God's Word, we encourage you to consider giving a one-time or recurring donation to The Verdict. Give a gift of any amount today by going to our website at theverdict.org. Or if you prefer writing a check, you can mail it to us at The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. Then just a quick reminder, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. You'll find us by searching your podcast app for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, or listen through our website at theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? I trust you're clear that your faith is in our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no substitute for our Savior. The Antichrist will set up his own kingdom, but it's a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of Satan. While the Antichrist will attack Christ and his people, we know that if God is for us, who can be against us? There's nothing to fear. Today, our Lord Jesus calls on us voluntarily to bow and to own him as our King and our Lord.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.